Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here with us. You can reach me via Twitter at Ryan Ballingy, RyanBallenGee, and email ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can find Golf Newsnet on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat at the handle Golf Newsnet. Find all of our work on sports.yahoo.com, the Devil Ball Golf Blog, or on golfnewsnet.com and on the Golf Newsnet apps for Android and Apple devices. And we are presented by BetDSI.com. We use BetDSI.com's odds every week for our PGA Tour, European Tour, and sometimes other tours' odds posts. And they give us a great idea of where the money's moving, how the lines are changing accordingly. And for those of you who are in areas of the world where sports betting isn't necessarily legal, you can use their odds to give you a good idea of what people are thinking about in terms of who will win and who will perform well each and every week for your fantasy games, giving you a little bit of a heads up on what you should do for your game. So check out BetDSI.com. We have a good show for you this week. We, as I said, are on the road here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We've been here for a couple of days now. Let's see, got here Friday night, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So this is our fifth day here, and the sixth day here, actually. We've kind of dealt with Hurricane Matthew. We've gone from a couple different places. So we've finally found our rental here for the week and are very excited to take a little bit of a break, but wanted to make sure we had a podcast for you this week for a couple of different reasons. One, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, which is Tiger Woods. We had intended to talk about Tiger Woods' return to the PGA Tour this week. Obviously, that is now not the case with him withdrawing from the Safeway Open, as well as the Turkish Airlines Open. We'll talk about that in a second. And then our guest this week is Pat Perez, and you know Pat Perez is a PGA Tour winner. He formerly won what is now the Career Builder Challenge, and he has been out of PGA Tour action since March. He finally had torn labrum surgery to correct that issue. He's been sitting on that problem for a while, finally went ahead and had the surgery done, and is going to make his PGA Tour return in a couple of weeks at the CIMB Classic in Malaysia. So we talk with him about not only his return to the PGA Tour, but also his new deal with William Murray Golf, which is a collaboration between Bill Murray, his brothers, and the Chive, and all that kind of comes together in the form of a new clothing line inspired by Bill Murray and a lot of the things he thinks about golf and life and things. And Pat Perez has had a relationship with the guys who own the Chive and has been involved with them for a while in various capacities. So it's interesting to talk to him about how all that came together and talk about his return to the PGA Tour. So that's the second half of the show, and you can listen to that in a little bit. But let's start with Tiger Woods. Obviously, as I mentioned, when about recording this podcast this week, you're like, all right, Tiger's coming back. It's going to be great. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have a great time talking about what he could potentially do, how the expectations should be lowered. And then on Monday, I actually came here to our condo, our rental for the week, and received a text message from my editor at Yahoo, Jay Hart. And Jay said, hey, can you do something? And I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, Tiger's withdrawn. And I called him up right away. I was like, what are you talking about? The guy committed on Friday. He said, yeah, Tiger's withdrawing. Tim Rosafort from Golf World Golf Channel. He's really more Golf Channel now, to be honest with you. Reporting that Tiger's going to withdraw from the tournament for what he had dubbed performance reasons, not health reasons. Okay, well, we'll write something, figure out a little bit more about it. And looked into it, it actually happened. So Tiger releases a statement on his website and says he feels the game is vulnerable, that when he committed to the tournament on Friday before the deadline, actually it was about 8 hours before the deadline, he committed Friday morning as we were getting ready to drive down here to Myrtle Beach. It's like, okay, great, he's going to play. And there was some doubt at the Ryder Cup whether or not he was going to make that commitment. And then he went ahead and did it. And I think everyone was kind of under the impression, okay, he's whatever the result is, he's going to try this thing. And then on Monday, he chose to back out. And I think the sentiment here from Woods' camp and from people outside of it is that Tiger probably made this commitment somewhat egged on by what happened at the Ryder Cup, somewhat egged on by the fact that he, in September, said he was going to come back and play competitive golf again. And by trying to do those things, by putting those statements out there and making those appearances, he was kind of backed into a corner a little bit and maybe thought, okay, I said I'm going to try and come back. okay, let's do it. I can do it on Friday. That gives me Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, maybe Tuesday, and try to compete and see if I could find a game that will be suitable enough for public display inside the ropes. And in whatever time frame he tried, he couldn't find it. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Obviously, the hurricane probably didn't help his preparation, his cramming, if you want to call it that. And then Monday comes around and goes, it's just not there. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to embarrass myself. And he pulled out. And, in one sense, I get it. Look, you don't want to go out there and shoot 85, 85 and make a fool of yourself. You don't want to try and bunt it around the property. Because it was clear on Tuesday, he delivered a clinic as part of this Tiger Woods Foundation event that he had at Pebble Beach with a golf outing on Monday, and then the clinic on Tuesday at Monterey Peninsula Country Club. And the swings looked maybe 70% speed. I mean, they didn't look fast. I mean, he had command of the shots from everyone in attendance's perspective that he could hit. They'd call a shot, he could hit it. And he was talking about golf in a way like he was still interested in playing competitively, still interested in competing, period. But that he just wasn't up to speed. I mean, he just couldn't swing the golf club at the same speed as normal or the same length that he used to. So if those things are true permanently, then we've got a problem. If they're a condition of his back issues where he's had three surgeries in the last 24 months, then that's a different thing entirely. I mean, it's kind of more Fred Couples syndrome. Some days you're going to get up and you're going to play great and feel great. And some days you're going to get up and feel terrible and barely able to swing a club. And you're not going to necessarily know from one day to the next which one you're going to get. And if that's the case, then we've got a long-term issue here. We also have a long-term issue if the problem is what amounts to the mental yips. Because from all accounts, Tiger hits the ball well on the range and he does well in practice. Now, that's either total bullshit, which is possible, or it's not, but Woods is completely unable to take that game from practice and recreational rounds inside the ropes. And there is a barrier there. That barrier is mental. Whether it's he has the chip yips, driver yips, putting yips, whether he just feels like kind of like Ian Baker Finch did a couple of years after winning the Open Championship, that he just can't do it. He just can't mentally fathom doing it. He can't bring himself to take the club back. And the result would be terrible. And maybe he knows that. And if that's the case, I don't know how you get over that. And you could ask Bobby Jones, because he succumbed to the pressure of tournament golf, the pressure to be great. That was what caused him to walk away from tournament golf, recognizing that the golf you and I play recreationally and the golf those guys play week to week, or in his era, every once in a while, the pressure was so much different that it was overwhelming to be involved in it. Too much for him, so I walked away. And maybe Tiger is in that position. I certainly don't know, and obviously he's not going to speak to that. But for Woods to say categorically, okay, I'm not in position to play Safeway this week. I'm not going to play the Turkish Airlines Open in November. I think that tells you something. I think that tells you how long he thinks he still has to go to be in a position to be able to play, whether it's to be able to pull the trigger mentally or whether it's function, both, don't know. But the excuse that Mark Steinberg, his agent, gave to ESPN as to why he chose to announce at the same time Monday that he wasn't playing the Safeway and wasn't playing in Turkey, to say that that was out of deference to the PGA Tour, didn't want to make his comeback event in a non-PGA Tour setting, just sounds like hogwash. I mean, just there's no way. I mean, I understand that Tiger was playing this event in the first place because he owes this start. He owes the start at the Safeway Open to the PGA Tour as part of a gang of eight deal, basically, from 2013, 2012, 2013. And that he had to make these starts, one start at the Safeway Open sometime eventually. It wasn't like he had to do it within a certain time frame. He has to do it eventually. So he was trying to get that done, kill two birds with one stone. He had the tournament out in Pebble Beach, a couple hours away. Then he goes over to Napa, plays, and it's done. You can make everyone happy. But for him to say through his agent, I don't want to play in Turkey because I don't want to upset the PGA Tour. BS. I mean, he's a lifetime member. There's no sanction they can offer him other than taking away his voting rights as a member, which quite frankly doesn't really matter to him. He is the PGA Tour And if he really wants to lobby for things, he can do that. He has that kind of respect among the players. So then the question mark is, okay, well, if he's not going to play this month, then what is going to change in what amounts to 2 months before we get to the Hero World Challenge, an 18-person event. It's in the Bahamas, and of course he has helped work with. It's where he lives. He shapes the tournament pretty much any way that he wants. The downside of that is there are only 18 players, and no one cares about that tournament with 18 players unless Tiger's in it. It's an event he's won 7 times. So if he says he's going to play, he's only one of 18 guys. Not that, you know, being one of 144, 156 makes a difference. He's still the guy people had their eyes on. And they would have had their eyes on him in the Pro-Am. They would have had their eyes on him, you know, in the Wednesday Pro-Am. They would have had their eyes on him, you know, likely Thursday, Friday pairing with Phil Mickelson. And I probably made him think a little bit too much about the hype and what that could mean for him to put a bad display on it, especially because of the chip yips with Mickelson, who has still a dreamy short game at 46. So do we see him again? I don't know. I mean, it seems like there are a lot of people like, yep, this is good. This is a good decision. We're going to see him on the Bahamas in December. It's going to be fine. He'll be whatever he's going to be, but he's going to do it. I'm not convinced he's going to play. I'm not convinced he's ever going to play again. And I've said this in private to people I play with at my country club and outings and other things like that. I'm not convinced he's going to play again. And if you're going to create a conspiracy theory around this, is to say that Tiger kind of had to say he was going to consider doing these events to placate sponsors. You're like, dude, we're paying a lot of money every year, and you are not visible on the PGA Tour because you're injured or you're getting better or whatever. You got to play. And he probably said, okay, I'm going to play. I get my name back out there. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Fulfill my contractual duties. And then he bows out. And now he's kind of between a rock and a hard place. Does he perform to these contracts and make some millions of dollars off of them, or does he go out there and potentially embarrass himself? I don't know. But either way, he did a disservice to the Safeway Open, to the service to Johnny Miller, to Silverado, to Northern California fans, because 30,000 people bought tickets based on the presumption that he was going to play. And the Safeway Open did a really cool thing, reducing ticket prices so more people could come see him affordably, going from like $40 to $30. So he basically inspired almost $900,000 to $1 million of additional gate. And those people would have spent and may still spend a lot of money on the tournament site itself because he was there. And now he's not going to be there. So he screwed over 30,000 people, helped the tournament tremendously. But now you've got these fans with this bad taste in their mouth, like, yeah, I got this ticket to go see Tiger Woods, and now I can only see Phil and Paul Casey and Matt Kuchar and Emiliano Grillo. There are going to be a lot of great players in this tournament, don't get me wrong, but they wanted to see Tiger Woods, and now that they're not going to be able to, it's going to upset them. All right, so that's it on that topic. We're going to shift over to Pat Perez, who is making his PGA Tour return in Malaysia very soon after our labrum surgery to repair a torn labrum. So we talked with him earlier in the week, recorded about a 15-minute conversation, so we'll talk with Pat, and then we'll come back here with you.
Pat, thanks for being on the show. You are making a comeback to the PGA Tour in a couple of weeks. After the Safeway Open, you're going to go play over in Malaysia after you've been out since March with a torn labrum. So what has this layoff been like, and what is the excitement like in getting to come back to the PGA Tour?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a lot of everything. I got to kind of hang out for a little bit, which I have never been able to do in 15 years. And, you know, I got to take a break. I got to get away from the game. I got to kind of restart my what I consider my second half of my career. You know, the labrum was something that I probably put off too long. I probably shouldn't have played, you know, as long as I did. But, you know, I just got to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. And it's been kind of nice. I've got a lot of things done around the house. I've spent a lot of time with my wife. We've done a bunch of stuff, and now I'm at the point where I'm just about full steam again, and I'm hungry and I'm excited, and I really can't wait to get back out because they say once something's been taken away, you really miss it. And I can't, you know, it's really true. And, you know, I'm very thankful that, the tour gave me, well, Todd Reinhardt gave me a spot in Malaysia next week, and couldn't be more excited to get over there and get back after it again.
What did you miss most about being on the PGA Tour, and what did you miss the least about being on the PGA Tour?
The least I missed would be the travel. The travel, you know, after 18 years of doing this, starts to wear on you, you know, with TSA and airplanes and hotels and, you know, eating out all the time and this kind of stuff, that wears on you. What I miss the most is, you know, just competing. You know, that's what I've always been. I'm just a competitor forever. I miss competing, you know, trying to win tournaments. You know, my friends out there who I've known forever. You know, just being part of the big PGA Tour family is what I miss the most. It's been kind of a long 8 months, and, you know, that's about it.
Have you and Drew Steckel been working on anything in particular to get ready for the comeback, so to speak, or are you kind of just nursing what you have been doing basically before you had the surgery?
No, you know, we had to kind of go around my surgery and create another swing that didn't work. And now that I've had a lot of time to get rid of those bad thoughts that I had, not Drew's teaching, but just bad thoughts that I had, and just being away from it kind of cleared my mind on the whole thing. When I came back, my swing had actually changed because of the healed labrum and just healed body in general. I mean, I laid around for 2 months right out of the gate just doing nothing. My body just got to kind of, you know, decompress, and it was just nice to kind of hang out and do nothing. And then when I came back, I didn't really know what was going to happen. The first day I hit balls, I drove down there. I was up at the Rim Club at my house up there, and I drove my cart down there, went to the range, and I actually had no idea what was going to happen because I had not hit a shot, and I had not interacted with the ground in 4.5 months. And I got there, and I hit the first one. I go, God, that actually feels pretty good. And I went real slow. I was only hitting, you know, 40%, 50% shots. And, you know, it got to feel good, and it felt better. But then when I got to full swing, that's when I noticed my swing had changed. I don't know what really happened, but Drew was, it was very easy for him to just say, look, this is what we need to do. And you know, my launch angle had changed 7 degrees with the driver. I wasn't down 7 degrees on it. I was actually up one on it now. So for him, it was actually a lot easier because he didn't have to try to explain what I needed to fix. It just kind of fixed itself. For whatever reason, I don't know. But I was more shocked than anybody when all this happened. So his teaching's been kind of easy. We just worked on a lot of half shots that I didn't have before, a lot of field shots around the green, wedge stuff, that kind of stuff that I've actually had time to do now. I've been working hard the last 2 months on all kinds of shots and all kinds of different things that I've never really had the time to do. And, you know, I feel as good as ever at this point.
All right, so you are coming back to the PGA Tour with a new closing sponsor. You're working with William Murray Golf, which is, if nobody is aware of this, and I don't know how you wouldn't be, is a new closing line that Bill Murray and his brothers are behind, along with the Chive. You have a good relationship with the Chive. I know you tweeted about them, spent some time at their headquarters, and shared some of that on social media. So kind of how did all of this come together for you?
Well, you know, we ran into him at my dad's tournament at the Travis Matthews tournament in San Diego. And I got to talking to him. I said, oh, man, we love your site, this and that. Did you guys ever think about getting into golf? I mean, golf is kind of dead. There's nothing really exciting going on. I'm sure there's a lot of people that you guys, you know, that follow your site are golfers. I guarantee it. And so we talked that night, and we drank, and we hung out. And it took about a year before we kind of circled back to it. And, you know, they have a big part called the Brigade in the military. And me and my dad have a foundation tournament called Operation Game On. We have over 600 wounded vets that are involved in our program. And I said, you know, would you guys be interested in coming out? We could really use the publicity and the help to get our word out of what we're trying to do. And they said, yeah, great. So they came out, and we talked, and we did everything. And I said, you know, we got to somehow figure out how we can align to get into golf together, because I think we can do something really great. I don't know how we can do it, but we've got to figure it out. So that took a little bit more time. And the guy that does my website and my social media stuff, Chris Bello, he kept in contact with these guys. And him and John Rezig and Leo and Brandon Barrett and Kerry Michaels, they all stayed in contact to really, you know, figure out how we can do this. And they thought, okay, well, let's do clothing line. And then it came, well, you know, you've already got Bill Murray T-shirts. We got to see if we can get Bill Murray involved in this somehow. He obviously loves golf. I see him every year at Pebble. I've known Bill for years. You know, why don't we try to go down that line? And they did. And then, you know, it took a while to kind of corral Bill in because he's a little different. But he loved the idea, and he signed on. And You know, it's just been, it's been kind of a fast snowball since then, but, you know, I'm kind of like the Chive. I'm a little different. I have a little different thoughts on things. I look at things differently. I think, but the partnership was going to be perfect. And I think that, you know, they're looking at me, and now with the time I've had off, they're looking for kind of a restart for me. And then Bill's now involved. He's older. And, you know, I think it's going to be a, I think it's a perfect mix between the two.
Did you get a chance to talk to Bill at all about the Ryder Cup? I saw him there a couple of different matches inside the ropes watching and leading some cheers and heard some stories from buddies of mine that were interacting with him. Did you get to talk to him about the Ryder Cup and what you think about what you saw up at Hazeltine?
You know, I didn't see it. I'm so glad the U.S. finally won. I don't think it had anything to do with Ford Task Force or any of that other crap they were talking about. But they finally just beat them. They just beat them. The bottom line is, as a team, if you don't beat the other team, you lose. That's the bottom line. It's nothing to do with leadership and blaming this guy and blaming that guy and this other stuff. What people don't understand about the European team for so long, they were an unbelievable team. They're a great 12 players that play together. You cannot take that away from them. You can't say, well, the U.S. should have won because they have a higher world ranking as a total. You can't. They just played better. That's the bottom line. The guys that win tournaments played better than the rest of the guys in the field. That's why they won. And it's the same thing with the Ryder Cup. I was very excited for them to win. You know, it's been a long time coming. I think if we'd have lost this one, you know, the Ryder Cup, it would have, we just had a black eye on the United States side for, you know, just forever, because you can't lose four in a row, and it's just becoming, you know, unfun. So it's not fun for anybody anymore, because everybody tries, everybody's behind it, yet we can't beat them, and we finally did. And to see Bill there with his William Murray shirt on and you know, taking drinks with Jordan Spieth and just hanging out and getting the crowd going, it was just awesome to see. But that's him. You know, he's a sports guy. You see him at the Cubs games doing the same thing. You know, his coach his son's an assistant coach at, I can't even think of the school. It's Xavier, isn't it? Is it Xavier?
I can't remember
exactly where it is. Yeah, but he's, you know, he's so involved in sports, and he loves golf more than anything. I mean, he absolutely loves it. And, you know, it's just so awesome to have a guy like that who's so different, yet everybody loves Bill Murray. I mean, who doesn't love Bill Murray? I mean,
right.
Every age. He's the guy for every age. It doesn't matter who you talk to. They love Bill Murray. I mean, I watch Caddyshack at least once a week still. I could write down the movie. Just sitting here at lunch, I could write down the movie. You know, I mean, who doesn't love that? I mean, there's always – any golfer is always going to have a reference to a Caddyshack line of some kind. So, you know, Bill Murray is the perfect guy for this deal. I think this folding line is going to change it, because they've already got this army of people that are behind it. I think they're so excited to see something so different. And, you know, the meetups we're going to have and the parties we're going to have and all this stuff throughout the PGA Tour, I think it's just going to really change. I don't know if the tour is ready for it, but they better be, because it's coming.
What can we do as a sport to make golf more fun? What can professional players do? What can people within the industry do to make golf more fun than it seems to be and sometimes is?
Well, I think it's just that, is actually have fun. You know, yes, it's a business. You know, it's a business for us, and obviously everybody that plays well has fun, but not everybody has fun all the time because they're not always playing well. It's hard because, you know, you see golf's the only sport in the world where everybody can go out and, like, drink beer and have a cart, you know, and listen to music and you know, it's like bowling. The more you drink, most people get better. That's the only sport. You don't really have – you're not going to play softball every day. You're not going to play basketball every day. You're not going to play – those aren't really fun anyway. You go do a pickup – I see it all the time at Lifetime Fitness. You go see a pickup game, they're not having fun. They actually think they're in the NBA playoffs. You know, there's no fun there. You go out to these public courses out here, and you see these guys, and they got a cooler full of beer. They got the music going. You know, they're having fun. They're smoking cigars. They're having a blast. You know, they're talking trash. That is fun. Now, you know, it's a fine line for, you know, like the Phoenix Open we have, it turned into just an absolute circus. I mean, there's so many people. There's so much going on. And all it is just a big party. And the golf happens to get in the way because they have to be quiet for like 15 seconds, you know. And it's turned into like this big circus thing. And I'm glad to see it. Believe me, I love that everybody has fun. Unfortunately, you get some of those people that, you know, that make a comment or do something that makes it unfun for the player, because it's basically everybody against us. So now you're sitting on 16, there's 40,000 people there, and you know, everybody's having fun. If you miss the green, you boo. That's fine. I don't care about that. That's part of the fun part of it. But, you know, I've been told, you know, a lot of things over the years that I'm not really, I can't repeat, obviously, but it just takes the fun out of it. I mean, here I am doing my job. If I walked up to you at wherever you work and started calling you names and tell you suck and, you know, your mother this or your wife this, you know, it's the only place in the world where you can actually get away with anything you want because they don't do anything about it. You know, you go in any other public place and you're either arrested or thrown out immediately. And that's the only unfortunate part is that, you know, that term is meant to be fun. It's a great time. It's a blast. I love it every year. Thunderbirds do a wonderful job with it. But, you know, you just unfortunately get those certain people that, you know, that make one comment and it kind of ruins your time. But, you know, for the most part, the tribe's going to be out there this year and we're going to have a big party. And it's going to be a blast.
All right, last thing we get you out here on this. You're on the other side of the mic with me, but you are routinely on the other side of the mic on SiriusXM with Michael Collins on your show Out of Bounds. If people haven't listened to it, if they aren't listening to it, what are you doing with your time? It's a great show. How did the show come about, and how did you and Mike come together to have such great chemistry and deliver fun golf talk, which seems like an oxymoron sometimes?
Well, I mean, if anybody's ever seen any of my interviews or anything like that, they know that I can pretty much speak my mind. And I tell it straight. I expect things straight. I get told straight all the time, and I have no problem with it. And I tell people straight, and they think I'm kind of a jerk. But, you know, I give as well as I get. And I'm not negative. I'm not, you know, positive all the time. I just kind of am what I am. And Colin's like, hey, you know, there's this idea running around for this new show. I think you're the perfect guy for it. It's called Out of Bounds, where we talk about kind of anything. You know, and I said, well, you know, I'm not going to really talk about anything. And I'm not going to wear out, like, my friends or – you know, I'm not gonna go out there and just start wearing everybody out like Brandon Chamblee or, you know Stephen A. Smith or anything like this because I'm still involved in the business, but I'm not doing that. But I will give my opinion on a lot of topics. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, that would be unbelievable. So he goes, we ought to try it out. Let's see if we can do something. I'll get the producers together and you know, I've known Michael forever, so it was very easy. I've always talked to him. I've known him forever. You know, we have kind of the same. We have the same humor. He gets it. I get it. And it's fun for me to do because I get 2 hours where I get to sit there and I don't have to play the golfer. You know, and people call in and they give their opinions and they want my opinion. And it's actually cool because I'm going to give them the correct opinion because I have the inside eyes on all what's going on. And it's really fun for me. I love it. It's like a 2-hour break of my week where I get to kind of sit there and go over, you know, points of what happened here, what happened there, what do you think about this? You know, and it's fun. I love it. I mean, seriously, it's been a great thing for me. And it's actually been nice. I wish I could have done it more in this time off, but we only get to do it every 2 weeks. But I'm going to continue to do it all the way through the end of the year. And, I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Pat, for being on the show. We appreciate it. Good luck with the comeback starting in Malaysia. And we'll look for you in the William Murray Close. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, look out for them. They're coming soon. October, they're dropping.
All right, we'll get our hands on some for sure. Thanks, Pat. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. See ya.
Thanks to Pat Perez for being a part of our show this week. It's really fun to talk to him. He's one of the better interviews that we've had in recent memory on this show. He's so open and honest, very straightforward, the kind of guy I like to talk to, the kind of guy I like to be with people, very forthright and not necessarily all that refined in language at times, but refined enough to kind of make a point that sounds somewhat intelligent. And so it was fun to have him on the show. So thanks again. Check out William Murray Golf. You can check it out through the Chive, or you can just search William Murray Golf on Google, and you'll run into it. Don't worry about it. The close dropped later this month, I think it's October 23rd that he said. So they did have some limited issue stuff that came out early that may be available. It may not be. You want to check the website for William Murray Golf just to make sure what's available before everything drops later in the month. So that's going to do it for us this week on the show from the road in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Next week, we will talk about the Safeway Open, see who wins the PGA Tour season opener. We'll get a sense of what happened on the European Tour with the British Masters. And we'll talk a little bit about Sayri Park, who plays her final LPGA tournament this week in her home country in South Korea, the KEB Hanabank Championship. Very interested to see the kind of send-off that she gets in her home country and from her fellow players on the LPGA. So until then, please give us a 5-star review if you listen to us on iTunes. We very much appreciate it. We always appreciate your support. It helps us reach more people with our show. If you'd like, please download our apps for Android and Apple devices. You get these shows before anybody else, even before iTunes does. When we upload all of our audio through our usual channels, it actually hits our app first. And you also can that are on GNN Radio, and even some shows that actually don't air on GNN Radio through our app. Until next week, I'm Ryan Balanchine saying thanks so much for listening to the show, and we'll talk to you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.